606 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson along with Tim Denai. This is Robotics Roundtable, our weekly Tuesday night show here on WSJM. Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by the good folks at Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. As I mentioned, joined by my co-host, and is it okay to call you friend now, Tim? Tim Denai?
Feet away from each other. Yes, we're friends now, right?
We're friends right now, but as soon as the show is over, we're no longer friends. Is that how that works?
I don't know. It depends if we can renew for third season, then we'll talk about it. But I think so. I think it looks good.
Hey, real quick, if they're brand new listeners about Robotics Roundtable, what's the show about? What do we do?
So the show is about the stars in the room. It's about the students that we've got here. But what we're doing is we're bringing out into the community an awareness about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And how these students get involved in this program can set them up for things that they want to do further in life. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a competitive sport, and that is around the FIRST Robotics program. And FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. Okay. That's the program we're working about, and it's really all about these students and how they learn quite a bit about STEM activities and how it can affect their lives. And then we start to see through conversation that we're going to have today how more than just the STEM piece, how it affects their social life, their networking life, meeting other students from across the state of Michigan, throughout the country, actually, because some of these kids here actually went to Worlds competition last year.
Now, we're live here right now on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. If you'd like to see us, we are Facebook Live right now, so go to Facebook, find the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Facebook page, and you can see us right here on Facebook Live. Before we get into talking with the mentors and the coaches, Tim, so lead us up to real quick. We're going to do the really fast abbreviated version from January to today. What's taken place since January up to today now?
So January, the first weekend of January, there was a worldwide reveal of what the game is. There was an animation as well as the students were given access to the manual for the mm-hmm. game.
Right.
And based upon that information, they designed a robot. They developed a strategy, designed a robot, and they took about 6 weeks to do that. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of living and learning through that process. And then after they got through the six-week process, there was what we call bag day. And
right.
We bagged up the robot, and no work was done on it until you head off into competition. So about a week after bag day, then we get into the six-week competition season,
right,
which is where we're sitting right now. And this particular team here, the Green Engineers, have competed at the St. Joseph event, and they're going to head off in about a week and a half, and they're going to go actually up to Lake State to compete in their second event. Mm-hmm. All of the teams throughout the state of Michigan will compete in two events that go towards their point standings to hopefully compete at the Michigan State Championship in Saginaw.
Got it. All right. Now, so for as always, we start off with our mentors and coaches first, and then we get to the real stars, which are the
we're gonna do a quick recap if
right.
we can.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we want to give a recap of what happened last week at Gull Lake. We had six area teams. The Tech Tigers from Benton Harbor, who joined us recently, CW Tech 4237, which is Team Lancebot, the Dowagiac Chieftainators, they were here last week, as well as Paw Paw. When we did the event at St. Joe High School, Paw Paw was on the radio with us, and the Bionic Bison. All six of those teams had a great deal of success. They managed to get to the elimination round, which that's the goal for this team here when they compete, is to get through qualifying and then be selected on the on the elimination rounds. So we had great success with them, and we had a couple of those teams that actually were captains of their alliance. So that after the first 12 matches are over, the Benton Harbor team, the Tech Tigers, and Team Lancebot out of Lakeshore, they were third and fourth at the standings. So they became captains for their teams. It was good to see that, you know, continuous growth for FIRST Robotics and the success in this area. And right now we're looking at current point standings because everything we're doing is going towards the state competition. So currently the Paw Paw team is in 11th place in the state. Team Lancebot is 16th in the state. The Average Joes, who've only competed once, they're going up to Grand Valley this weekend. They're 25th. And then the Tech Tigers, who Lewis and I were talking earlier, it's been a while since the Tech Tigers have had so much success. They're currently sitting at 29th in the state. We're hopeful that they're one of the top 160 teams and get to compete up in Saginaw. And then currently also the Robotarians are 54th in the state. So there's quite a bit of a rundown there, but it was an exciting weekend. Mm-hmm. That can all be viewed, much to my wife's dismay. I watched all of those competitions on Saturday afternoon, the elimination rounds. Just as exciting as watching NCAA basketball.
Wonderful. So, hey, I want to apologize on the Facebook Live video. The audio, we got it corrected, wasn't working on Facebook Live. So if you're watching us on Facebook Live, the audio should be coming through now. We had a flip a switch.
So that was the first take, so we're just going to redo everything?
Yeah, I think maybe. Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll stay afterwards. But I think our friendship's in jeopardy right now,
this whole technical guru garbage lingo here. So the engineer tried to explain it to me, and I started to doze off and drool a little bit.
Right when he said flip the switch,
I know.
That's where he lost you.
It's like, yeah, push this button, and I'm gone. So, well, who do we got? You kind of introduced the team that we have in here tonight.
Yeah, I did. So we were originally going to have team 5056 and 5069 out of Buchanan and Edwards. And much that we'll talk a little bit about with the mentors, these kids are busy doing multiple things. And those two schools, they were so busy doing school plays and everything that the students couldn't get here. And just as kind of an example of how this team responds when you need them,
right.
I put out the call yesterday and said, hey, we'd really love to have some additional people. So we have the Green Engineers, team 3452 out of Bering Springs, and we have our two mentors, and we're going to do ladies first, and we're going to let the mentors introduce themselves, okay?
Hi, I'm Gervais Arnopium. I'm the rookie coach this year for the Green Engineers 3452. It has been an exciting year, lots of learning moments, and I'm quite blown and excited about these kids because, I mean, I'm here for the kids. I'm not here for anything else but just to be there for them and be the adequate resource that they need and just to guide them through the program. The program is awesome.
So, Gervais, tell me a little bit about what you do within schools at Bering Springs.
I'm the eighth grade science teacher at the Bering Springs Middle School. And so I'm kind of juggling that along with being the head coach this year. And I love it. This is my second year with them. I bleed green. I guess you could say now I can bleed green.
Very good.
And the school district itself is very culturally diverse. So we're exposed to a lot of different student populations, and it has its challenges, but it definitely has its advantages, and it's a beautiful story.
And so that cultural diversity, going to competitions, have you seen that pretty much replicated when you go to a competition? There's a diversity in ethnicity and male-female ratios at all of these competitions.
I do. It's just amazing to see like what other teams have to bring. We're not so culturally diverse as we look at our team. We have we have a lot of girls and boys ratio,
right.
But I want to get more kids involved just because we've got kids from all over the world because of the university that
right.
is in Bering Springs.
Right.
So, I mean, that is one challenge that I want to face as a coach, and just to reach out to the melting pot of diversity. But it is remarkable to see these kids just working together. And, you know, culturally diverse doesn't really define them. It's just more of like different personalities. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, I think the thing I take away from walking into a competition is sometimes you kind of say, you know, if you're a certain height, well, you're probably going to be a basketball player.
Yeah.
And if you're a certain size, you're going to be
right.
a certain, you know, but you can be anything, anybody, and walk into this competition and just kind of fit right in. And because of that, we're allowed to then have people like Stacy. So we're going to let Stacy introduce himself and how you fit into this whole mix here.
Yeah, my name is Stacy Annis. I've been with the team five years, but I've had kids on it ever since it started in 2011. I'm an engineer with Whirlpool. I've been there for over 25 years, and I appreciate that the corporation has been very supportive of the program. It is a fantastic program, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Very good. So, Stacy, how long... were the Green Engineers around before you started, or were you with it from the inception?
I had my oldest son was on the team the first year in 2011. I wasn't a coach or a mentor at that time, but mm-hmm. it only took a couple of years of that to get involved where you you want to get involved.
And that's kind of where I was headed is, you know, how did you first become exposed to it? Your son was involved and yep. then did someone just say, hey, since you're here, why don't you do something to show, or how did that come about?
If you're a parent out there and you have a kid on one of these teams it doesn't even matter if you're in a technical field or not. I mean, the thing I love about FIRST and being involved with it, even though I am on the technical side, this isn't all about the robot. And I think that's one of the themes that FIRST really talks about. It's not just about robots. So especially this year, the Green Engineers have really expanded and they've reached out. They've reached in the community. They've fostered a young group within the middle school to try to get them to turn into a FIRST Lego League team. And honestly, they've grown so much from it as a team. I mean, last year we had a lot of rookies, but this year, honestly, as a coach, I've been very proud because I haven't had to do as much. They've really taken ownership, right? And that's the opportunity you have here.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, too, in regards to the younger people that are involved. I had the opportunity at the St. Joe competition to catch some of the elementary school kids that came to support you guys. I mean, the number was over 100. I mean, how many kids showed up for that, Chloe?
Berrien Springs representatives that came to the St. Joe event to support us.
Very good. So, I mean, after the break, I want to go ahead and talk about that a little bit more because that leads into some other information I want to talk about with specifically about the Green Engineers.
All right. It is 6:17. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Don't forget, we are on Facebook Live. Go to the WSJM News Talk 94.9 WSJM Facebook page, and you can watch along and follow along with us. Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by the good people at Lakeshore Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and Kettering University. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more, and we'll introduce you to the stars of the night on Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Six 6:21 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson. Can we just start this over, Tim? So now it's Ray Gustafson and Tim Dunai, Robotics Roundtable, brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. Welcome back to the show. Again, we are on Facebook Live. If you'd like to join us, go to News Talk 94.9 WSJM. And we've just got a stationary camera, so it's kind of boring. The camera's kind of to the back of Tim and I, so you just kind of get to see our bald heads.
A lot of reflection there.
A lot of reflection there, so you might need some sunglasses just to see what's going on. But, Tim, before we get to the stars, you've got a little bit of information you want to pass along, and then we're going to introduce you to the team.
Yeah, so the Green Engineers have been around since 2011, and I pulled up a little historical information, and I don't know if all of these students were aware of this, but I've got a page of information of the awards and how your team has done as far as in competition. And starting out in 2011, they were a rookie all-star, and the rookie all-star basically is a team that somebody thinks – at some point in time could become a chairman's award team. And that is a team that encompasses everything that we think is great about FIRST and about STEM. And that's advancing information about STEM within the community. And I know that these guys have interviewed for the chairman's award. And we talked about before going to break, 160 students where we're trying to inspire them about science, technology, engineering, math, the excitement that it can bring and the opportunities that it can bring. So that sounds to me like a team that was a rookie all-star and is continuing on the path towards being a chairman's award. This past event in St. Joe, the Green Engineers won the Engineering Inspiration Award. And for me personally, there are 14 awards that we are involved with as far as assigning those awards or awarding those to somebody at a competition. And the Engineering Inspiration Award is just like the Chairman's Award. The difference is for the Chairman's Award, somebody submits for that. For the Engineering Inspiration Award, the judges, through conversation, discover that you are a team that is worthy of Chairman's Award recognition. So I wanted to acknowledge you guys, because with that Engineering Inspiration Award, you've already qualified to go to state competition to be interviewed. We want to get your robot there. We want to see you competing, but that's a great thing for you to be able to have that recognition. And before I want to introduce everyone, I just want to let the listeners know what Engineering Inspiration, what it means. It's the extent and effectiveness of a team's efforts to recruit students to engineering with particular emphasis on the most recent year. Community outreach efforts with particular emphasis on measuring success. And then a commitment to science, technology, engineering, education among the team, school, and the community. And I don't think anybody can encompass that any better than what you do, because it's more than a school. It is the community of Bering Springs. The fact that you can get 160 kids and their teachers, the kids are all on board with coming out of, taking a day out of school. But to get the teachers to see the value in that and be able to have them come to the competition, that was an awesome thing on your part. So what I want to do is I'd like to let you guys introduce yourselves and then maybe tell about how you reached out to the community, to the school, to get that kind of presence at the St. Joe competition. We'll start here with Chloe.
I'm Chloe. I'm a sophomore. This is my second year on the team.
Hi, I'm Lily. I'm a junior, and this is my, or I'm a senior. Wow. I'm a senior,
time,
and this is time my
flies.
Second year on the team.
My name's AJ. I'm a sophomore, and this is my second year on the team.
My name's Seth, and I'm a sophomore, and this is my second year on the team.
Okay, and then amongst you, who wants to take the question of, how did you guys go about reaching out to the students to get that many people here?
So it was partially due to my mom. My mom is one of the special education teachers at Sylvester. I work closely as a student tutor for the fifth grade. So I reached out with one of my teacher friends, and I was like, you guys should really come to the St. Joe competition. It's really fun and exciting. And then we also had the FLL team earlier this year that we started at Sylvester.
So who wants to tell me what FLL is and what that team was about?
So FLL is the First Lego League, and it's a group of elementary age students that work to build a Lego robot with the Mindstorm package, I guess, to complete different challenges that they're given each year. And we started a club this year where they kind of started to learn the basics, get the idea, and we were lucky enough to have some of the old mats used donated to us so that we could learn and learn with the kids and teach them. And this year we are actually currently right now in the process of fundraising enough money to register for an actual official FLL team that's ready to compete next season.
And I think I had a conversation with Gervais, it was with you, and I can't remember, was it Chloe or Lily at the end of the St. Joe competition. The goal was six teams. That's the goal for next year's Lego League competition, correct?
That'd be great, because when we first signed up for the mentoring, we thought, maybe 20 kids are going to show up. Because, we don't have a very big school, about 130 kids per grade, three grades. So we're like, can't be that many. And we got there, and our teacher representative said 150 kids signed up. And we were like, really? And so we ended up having to split it up into 2 days a week. So we had the Tuesday kids, and then we had the Thursday kids. And we had at least 50 kids a week. And so we got to work with them and learn with them. And we're hoping we can get all of those kids onto a team so that no student is excluded, and they can all learn and be a part of the.
And so is everybody involved with the Lego League, or who's coordinating that? So Seth and AJ, are you guys involved also?
We're not like what's the word that I'm looking for? Like coordinating it,
right?
But we're there like with the kids, helping them out, showing them what to do.
So I'm just going to acknowledge the fact that if you have two women like Chloe and Lily here, I understand you guys are just there for support. You don't you dare take the steering wheel, okay? But the fact that you have all of you tied together, I'm kind of curious, maybe AJ, my question here is, you have one relationship with your mentors as the student. So tell me what your experience is being the mentor to these younger students. I mean, how did that affect you? Did you see differences? I mean, how did that kind of affect how you go about interacting maybe with your mentors?
I realized how it is to be like a mentor, because sometimes it's some of the kids don't understand what you're trying to get across, how you're trying to teach them, what you're trying to expect them to do. I can see that with the coaches, what they're trying to help us learn, but sometimes we're tough to teach. And so
the mentors are just nodding their heads, amen. So, did you have any end of those moments where there's kind of like an aha moment where the students complete a task, whatever it might be, that's something you kind of have guided them, and when they get it, there's a certain little bit of reward for you there. Did you experience that at all?
I experienced it quite often. The way it's set up was we went and worked with multiple groups of people, so you kind of moved around a bunch. And there's moments where you'd be working with a group of kids, and they're having issues like doing something, because most of these kids haven't been exposed to like a Lego robot. And it just felt good to see them actually get to like move the robot in the way they want and get it to move the way they want.
Did you want to?
So one of the things the Green Engineers have taken on this year is being a green team and putting that into our name. And so with the elementary students, we took about a month to do a rotation at their robotics club about like how to be earth friendly and like being green and what pollution is and what happens to pollution. And while we were working with them, there were a lot of kids that had no clue like what pollution actually does. And I think we kind of had a little bit of like an aha moment there, because some of the kids like freaked out and they're like, so when I just throw that outside, that's what happens to it? That it goes on those animals? And they, like, a lot of kids, I think I scared some kids about littering. Like, I don't think they'll ever litter again. But so I definitely think that was a really cool experience that we got to have with them.
So, and that's some of the reward for us, I think, as mentors, is when you see the students that you've been teaching kind of take on that mentor role, there's a lot of pride there. And then when you get that reward that comes back where somebody has captured something that you've told them, and then you're able to take that, that's something I think you're going to be able to cherish and take with you as you continue on, even past we're done with FIRST. So are we at a point where we need to do a quick commercial timeout here?
Yep, I think we will. We'll take the opportunity here at the bottom of the hour, 6:31, almost coming up on 6:31. This is News Talk 94.9 WSJM, and this is Robotics Roundtable, our weekly Tuesday show from 6 until 7. We'll take a break. It's brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. Robotics Roundtable, take a break. Be back with more right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. At News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Robotics Roundtable, our weekly show every Tuesday night from 6 until 7 right here on WSJM. Brought to you by the good people at Lakeshore Public Schools, a good friend of mine, Scott Bradford at Bradford Insurance, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and Kettering University. I'm joined, of course, by Tim Dunai. And Tim, this is, I think, every week we do this after the bottom of the hour break. I think this is one of my favorite times of the show, is we let the kids kind of do a little shout out and get a little bit wild, huh? Yeah,
but not just the kids, right?
Not just the kids.
Oh,
you did. You haven't done one for a couple of weeks now. Are you thinking?
I haven't, I got to tell you this. On Thursday evenings, and now we've got warmer weather. We won't be doing this. I play drop-in hockey, and I was on the bench last week, Jason Crockett, who I don't know if is listening, but he should be, because I told him I was going to do this. I heard on the bench, Tim, you give a shout out to your wife, but you don't give a shout out to the guys at hockey. So this is for all those guys at hockey that wanted the shout out. So. To the kids in the room, now you see an example of a shout-out. We're going to start over here with Chloe and let you just give a shout-out to anybody you want.
I would first like to say sorry to my parents. Sorry I'm not home a lot to eat dinners. I have my robotics family now from January to May. We would also like to thank JR for their donations throughout the season and Eagle Technologies.
So it was JR Automation, correct?
Yes.
And I want to say also, just to remind you that we are on Facebook Live. So if you go to News Talk 94.9 WSJM on Facebook, you can watch along. We've just got a stationary camera up in the studio, but you can follow along and watch what we're doing here in the studio.
I'd like to give a shout out to my parents and my grandparents for all their support, and also to Fab and Weld in Berrien Springs. They've given us a place to work. They sponsored our T-shirts, and they've always given us support, and I'm so happy to have them by our side.
Excellent. AJ?
I'd like to give a shout out to my parents also for dealing with me never being home pretty much. I'd also like to thank Machine Services Co. for giving us another place to work and allowing us to make our robot there. That's where we welded a lot of our robot at.
Excellent. Seth?
I'd like to give a shout out to my dad, who happens to be a mentor and works at one of our sponsors, South Shore Tool and Die, and also my mom for putting up with me not being at home, not being able to eat dinner all the time.
Tim, do we want to let the mentors do a shout out?
Well, since Gervais got the microphone and just won't let us take it away, sure, we're going to let her.
Apparently not. Yeah.
Go for it, Gervais.
I want to give a shout out to Berrien Springs Public Schools. I mean, I'm an employee there, and they have sponsored the team. And to all the teachers and staff from all the buildings, especially since we've had the elementary school come out. This is a big shout out to them and the middle school for coming every year. And of course, I want to give a big shout out to my significant other, Kevin, for being a widower pretty much, because I'm with these kids 24/7 and, he's a trooper.
Everybody that sits in that chair pretty much can tell the same tale. So thank you, Kevin. And then Stacy.
Yep. Again, my wife, Marianne, thank you for putting up with it and going on forward with us. Also this year, I really want to give a big shout out, especially to these other teams that were at the St. Joe event. We were kind of struggling a little bit, but there's something in FIRST called gracious professionalism, right? And cooperation. Those are kind of weird, funky words. But basically what it says is you're really just there to help each other out. And through our struggles, we had numerous teams trying to help us out. I think they recognized we had a lot of potential and we were a good team. But whether it was Strike Force out of Kalamazoo or the Pawpaw Robotics team that actually picked us for their alliance, or Lancebots, who were great and are helping us now with some work on vision and programming. Robotarians are also very helpful. I mean, it's just been fantastic to see the kind of support that we can get from the others around us. In addition to those, you got people like AEP who are helping us out tremendously. And actually, NVIDIA this year is one of our sponsors as well. And we're getting to utilize some of their materials. So it takes a village and it takes a lot of help. And we certainly get it. And that's what I love about FIRST is that cooperation really plays a part.
And that's, Ray, you and I have talked about before. That's probably one of the things I enjoy most about the competitions and the events is you have people that are competing against each other very hard, but they want to win in the correct way. I also want to make one note here too. Stacy was very organized. He had detailed notes and he had them on his phone. And the kids who are yet to learn technology, I guess, Lily, how hard are you going to have to scrub your hands to get all that ink off or all those notes that you wrote down there?
Oh, pens come off so easily. I do it all the time. Trust me, it's fine.
So any teachers listening, just be aware of how Lily's managing to get through school there. So,
Senior year.
I want to add a little bit to what Stacy was talking about, and that is that community aspect. There's a group that was started up about two and a half years ago, and the Green Engineers are a founding member of what we call the Sunset Coast Robotics Alliance. And by founding member, there are the Green Engineers, Team 2959, the Robotarians, 3620, the Average Joes, and 4237, Team Lancebot, where we wanted to take a lot of the spirit that was at the events, the ability to work together and promote throughout the community. So we've done things being at the Maker Fair, being at Berrien County Youth Fair, out into the community. So that's one aspect of that community working together. But also in the area, we have hosted the FRC event that just completed at St. Joe, a First Tech Challenge event at the middle school in Coloma, and then the Lego League competition, which Gervais was a judge for that. And those were events that were hosted by other teams, but this team here was very present at all of those events, from setup to tear down to running the event. And that's a part of the community piece that I think that was a goal we had a little while ago with Sunset Coast Robotics Alliance. And it's really just taken the spirit of the event, coming out of that event, and just carrying it forth. And, you know, we've talked about it in the past, Ray. This is just really doing good unto others and trying to continue that throughout our daily life.
I want to find out a little bit more about, what was it, cheesecake or something you guys, I love cheesecake, but now this is a different kind of cheesecake, am I right? So tell me about it. So
essentially, A cheesecake in the world of robotics is known as adding something onto another robot to help them. So there's a lot of times people don't include something in the original design. Like in 2016, last year, we didn't plan on climbing or scaling the tower. So, for example, someone could have cheesecaked a climber onto a robot. And we're looking to do the same thing and giving back to another team at our next event in Lake Superior State by adding another climber. We actually have people back at our build site right now working on that.
So we've got, for those that aren't aware of the competition, and you can look at an animation of this, and it's on, if you just did a search on FRC Steamworks, you'd see the animation for the game, and there's a couple of components, and that is fuel. It's basically launching a wiffle ball into either a high goal or a low goal to score points, carrying a gear and then loading it onto a peg, where we're moving, the robot is picking one up and moving it. And then there's the hanging piece at the end. So those different components, you're saying if somebody hasn't added that on, you're trying to make some piece that just adds on. Here's modularity to what they've got. What about if that robot is above a certain weight level? We talked about this last week when we were with the Lancebots, where there's a maximum weight that you can be at. So maybe Seth or AJ, you want to talk about, you know, what's the weight of this cheesecake that you're talking about adding?
Currently, it still has some more modifying to do, because right now we have a really long length because we're trying to make it kind of open so we can modify it when we get there to fit a team. Right now it weighs about 10 pounds, so it's kind of heavy. It's a little bit heavier than our climber currently, but we were thinking if a climber usually takes up a decent weight of the robot, so we're assuming some teams are going to have some weight that may need a climber.
So part of the conversation you're going to have is with that team is, you know, what's your weight certainly at? I'm curious, you guys are headed, we said, in a week and a half to Lake State. So did you guys do any scouting of competitions? And we're getting some nodding. So, Seth, I'll let you chime in. Then we're going to let the ladies chime in, too.
Yeah. During, like, this last week, we were doing a bunch of pre-scouting.
So
teams.
How do you do pre-scouting? I'm curious. Share that with everybody that maybe isn't familiar in the first world.
It's a lot of research. We use the Blue Alliance app a lot. Just look up information on the teams. A lot of teams didn't compete until this weekend, which was Escanaba.
Okay. So, and the Blue Alliance, it is a website that if you go to, there's a website and the app, and that's what I watch the competition at Gull Lake. And if you go on to that, you can take a look at any competition that's happening worldwide. You can get all the statistics out of it. Usually there's a video link so you can watch those competitions, and it's not just this year. You can go back and look at historical information. You know, if there's hanging that has to happen, how has a team done it in the past? So Chloe and Lily, I mean, is that a team thing? Are you guys sitting at home doing scouting? And is there assignments for doing the scouting?
It was actually kind of funny. I spent so much time with robotics, I actually got sick. So I was gone for half the week, and I was still able to scout from home just by using the Blue Alliance. So what we had is we had the teams looking up the teams that we will be competing with at Lake Superior State, getting the stats from them.
And we kind of compiled this on a Google Docs Sheets, so kind of like the Excel version on Google. And we had, I think almost all of the team is shared on that doc. So if anybody has some free time, they can go and say, oh, hey, look, this team isn't scouted yet, and they can go and they can look for it. And yeah, Chloe and Seth have definitely spent a lot of time on it and a lot of looking through it, and that'll just kind of give us an idea of what we can expect at our upcoming competition and how we can prepare to strategize.
This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We'll take a break. It's brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll be back with the final segment here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 6:51 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM Robotics Roundtable, brought to you by the good people at Lakeshore Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and Kettering University. Don't forget, we're on Facebook Live. You can go to the WSJM News Talk 94.9 Facebook page and watch along with us for this final segment here. As always, every Tuesday night, I'm joined by Tim Dunai. Tim, what do we got coming up next? We had a good conversation started before we took the break.
Yes, we did, but I just saw a note from my daughter. I'm supposed to wish happy birthday to her friend Michelle, and I'm supposed to apologize for giving a shout-out to the hockey team and not my family.
Yeah, so. Well, no. Shout-outs were the last segment, Tim. It's too late, so take that back.
All right, I take it all back. actually, we had talked a little bit about the data gathering that you're doing, and I think that's a key piece, but if you could tie a little bit in for those listening, you're gathering this data. What are you doing with it, and when are you doing something with that? And whoever, Chloe, it sounds like maybe you and Seth are kind of the lead on that. So do you guys want to talk about that just a little bit? One of you.
We're planning on knowing a little bit about the teams before we go there, just so we aren't blindsided necessarily, so that the team doesn't show up and we're confused about what other teams can do. So I expect that the team, the first day we'll get there, we pit scout. We just make sure the teams are all doing good, seeing if there's anything that we can do to help them.
Okay.
And just getting to know their robot and how they function.
So where I'm headed towards is alliance selections happen, and now you finalize your partners, because the first 12 rounds are all random draw. But now we're going to take that data, and you're going to use that, Seth, to what? To select your permanent partners, correct?
Yes, pretty much.
So, and this is where I wanted to bring Stacy in, the analysis piece that we're doing now, the skill set that the students are learning, where I'm grabbing information and now I'm going to make that actionable information. How can you, does Whirlpool do anything like that?
All the time, right? So we want to make products that are reliable. So we're going to do analysis on our products to make sure that they meet the requirements of our customers. Well, these young people are creating these robots, and they have to make decisions about who they want to work with, right? So we have a lot of tools to do that. Excel or spreadsheet is one way to do that, whether it be Google Sheets or Excel. But just taking data in and being able to manipulate it so that you can make decisions with it are what are really important. I've been working all year with Chloe, teaching her to appreciate the value of a spreadsheet, and I think I'm almost there, but I'm not sure. The other guys, I think, understand that, but the power of being able to use a tool to help you make decisions, again, it's not just about robots, right? I mean, this is a skill that these kids can use and learn no matter what they do, and that's the beauty of FIRST. It exposes them to these things and gives them the opportunity to put these things into action, because I think we've all kind of recognized that when do you really learn something is when you've had to use it.
Yeah, so through talking with a couple of mentors and emails back and forth that I've seen, I see sayings that are kind of similar at the bottom of an email, and that is fail fast and learn, because you don't really learn anything until you fail. So you see some of that information coming across, and there's nothing wrong with failing. I'm stealing from PJ Fleck from the Broncos, but there's nothing wrong with failing. It's not failure. When you stop doing anything, then it's failure. But if you continuously fail, but you learn from it. This came up at the St. Joe competition from the Grizzly Robotics team. Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb. He discovered 100 ways not to make a light bulb, and then he succeeded. So there's continuous failing. Gervea, I want to talk a little bit about, so that information that we just talked to the students are gathering, then have you seen the part as a teacher where they now take that information? Do they come to you and say, please make a decision for us, or are they the ones making the decisions based upon that information?
They're definitely the ones that make the decision based on the stats. And then when they gather it, they're like, okay, this team can do this. Okay, maybe this would be a great alliance if we were picked, if we were chosen to be part of the top 8 ranked teams. But the kids are all hands on deck. I'm hands off. Okay. I always tell them that. I mean, it also plays into role that this is my first year, so I'm also learning the whole entire process. But it's great watching them just say, hey, coach, you got to press this button. You got to do, okay. And I'm like learning as I go. I'm a natural teacher. So this is what my job is I teach them. Well, for them to teach me something, that's inspiring. So it's interesting to watch them pull the data too, because I talk with Stacy all the time. He's always like spreadsheets. And I'm like, I use spreadsheets too in my job. It makes your job more efficient and easier for to use a tool. And so I guess when I talk to the kids about scouting, I'm like, we need to be organized. We've got to figure out a process that's going to allow you guys not to be too stressed about it, because you can see the horror on their faces when we don't have the right data.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, you need to figure it out amongst yourselves. What is going to be the best strategy for this team? Because mind you, we only have 9 team members, so we don't have enough hands on deck to scout.
So for a team that has 9 team members and a coach who keeps saying she's a rookie, but is actually quite the veteran, I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
You guys do remarkably well. I want to make sure we want to cover this one piece too, is we've talked about where you guys are sitting, as far as in school, what grade you're at. What are you looking to do with your future, and where are you headed based upon your exposure to being a part of FIRST? We don't have too much time, but I want to get information from both of you, or from all of you, excuse me. So, Chloe?
I'm actually looking into being an x-ray technician right now, a radiologist.
Okay. Lily?
I want to be a neurologist, and so I plan to go to LMC and then MSU, but because of robotics, I'm really interested in prosthetics and making more efficient prosthetics that use more with neuro and mechanical at the same time to work more.
Have you seen some of the work that Dean Kamen has done in regards to that? It's remarkable. It really is. AJ?
I'm looking into becoming an engineer of some sort. I'm leaning towards mechanical, electrical, or aerospace, somewhere in that area. And I'm leaning towards University of Michigan. Do they have a good engineering program? Yeah, it'd be nice to someday work for like Tesla or SpaceX as a high dream.
At the FTA for our event, Oliver, after one interview, he works for SpaceX. He's a student at U of M, still works for SpaceX. Remarkable. Seth?
It's kind of the same thing as AJ. I want to be an engineer of some sort in the future, leaning more towards mechanical and electrical. We had it kind of planned out. I'm going to go to U of M. Together, and
very good. So
thank our team.
I want to thank you guys for filling in a pinch, and I think we could probably continue talking with you for another hour. I really do appreciate your time. Best of luck up at Lake State. I'm sure you guys are going to do quite well. Ray?
This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. It's all being brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 6 right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.